Ezer, Perek Mem Aleph. This perek is going to speak about the story of Matan Torah and Har Sinai, and I think it will be a very good way of preparing for Shavuos to learn this perek the next few weeks. In Perek Yud Dalet, which we didn't do yet, it says, it introduces the topic of 10 Yeridos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to the world. There's 10 times in Chumash where it says a lashon of Yerida, descent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from his lofty position in Shemayim down to this world to intervene in whatever ways he felt necessarily to intervene. And it lists off 10 instances where we see that. And the later prakim from Perek Yadalit all the way till the end of the Sefer go through the different examples of that happening. So Perek Mem Aleph is going to speak about the sixth Yerida, the sixth time that it says that Hashem came down, and that's when Hashem came down at Har Sinai. Let's read it. Yerida Hashishis, the sixth Yerida, Shiyorad LeSinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended down to Mount Sinai. Shemar, it says in the Pasuk, Parashas Yisrael, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem descended upon Har Sinai. What? B'shisha b'sivan nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael b'Har Sinai. On the 6th of Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Jews on Mount Sinai. U'memekoymai nislash Har Sinai. And from its place, Har Sinai was uprooted. What does that mean that it was uprooted? So here it says nitlash, which means uprooted or detached. The Radal brings that in the Yalkut, the Gersa is nitla, not nitlash, but nitla, which means it was hanging, as if to say that Har Sinai was hanging in the air. Targum Yonason, the Parashas Yisroi, says both. It was nitlash mora alma yastura, Kadosh Baruch Hu detached the mountain, v'zakfe ba'avira, and he had it standing in the air. So Har Sinai was detached from its spot and was sort of floating in the middle of the air. The Marzu says that this is referring to the idea that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted the mountain on top of the Jews and said, if you don't be mekabel Torah, Sham tehei misaschem and Sham tehei kvuraschem. Here you'll be killed and here you'll be buried. That's what the Marzu says. The Radal says he doesn't like that. He doesn't see that Pirkei d'Blizzar is referring dafka to that over here. It could be this is just one of the wondrous things that happened to Har Sinai by Matan Torah, not necessarily the Indian of what the Gemara calls Kofolem Har Kegigis. V'niftichu opened up, v'nichnas reisha har b'shamayim, and the top of the mountain entered the Shamayim. So the mountain floated upwards, and the top of the mountain was sort of going into what we call Shamayim, whatever that means. Va'arafel mechasa esahar. And there was like a dark cloud that was covering the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev al kisay. This also, we don't exactly understand what this means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev al kisay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting upon his chair of glory. V'graglov oimdes al arafel. And the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were standing on this dark cloud. We don't know exactly what any of this means, but basically there's some sort of mashal over here that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was sitting on a chair and his feet were over the dark cloud. But now we're going to say over a famous medrash over here that's famous. You've probably heard different variations of this medrash, and we'll try to speak about some ideas that come out from it. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Rabbi Tarfon says, Zach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mehar Seir v'nigla al b'nei Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined forth from the mountain of Seir, and he revealed himself to the sons of Esav. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayoymer, Hashem misinai bo v'zorach mesir lamoi. Hashem came from misinai, he said, Hashem came from Sinai, Hashem misinai bo v'zorach mesir lamoi. And he shined forth from Seir. What's Seir? Says the Medrash, Ve'ein Seir el b'nei Esav. Seir is a reference to the sons of Esav. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Pashas Vayishlach, Vayeshev Esav b'har Seir. Esav settled in Har Seir, so Seir is another name for its inhabitants, Esav. The sons of Esav. So Kadosh Baruch Hu went to the sons of Esav. What did he say to them? Amar lehem Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to them, Mekablu natem es haTorah. Would you like to receive the Torah? Amru loy. So the sons of Esav said to Hashem, Maksivba, What does it say in the Torah? Omer lahem lo yirtach. It says in the Torah, don't kill or don't murder. Amru loy leich meimanu. They said to him, go away from us. Kinanu yicholim lazev es abracha shebeirach Yitzchak es Esav Avinu. We cannot forsake the blessing that Yitzchak gave to our Esav, our forefather. Sh'aba loy, because Yitzchak said to him, v'alchai b'chasichya, you will live by the sword. Yitzchak gave a bracha to Esav, that Esav's descendants are going to live by the sword. And they're saying, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to murder? No, we can't take that, because we have a bracha that we're supposed to live by the sword, and murdering is part of our identity.
Were they using it as an excuse, or did they really believe this?
Oh, so we'll get to that. Umisham Chozar v'Nigla al b'nai Yishmael, and from there Hashem went back and revealed Himself upon the sons of Yishmael. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Hoifia mehar Paran. He revealed Himself from Har Paran, the mountain of Paran, and Paran is the name of the desert where the descendants of Yishmael lived. Omar lahem, Hashem said to them, Mekabel matam es haTorah. Would you like to receive the Torah? Omar loy, they said to him, Maksiv. What does it say? The same answer. Omar lahem loy signoiv. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to steal. That's what he said to Bnei Yishmael. Omuloi, they said to Hashem, we can't forsake that matter which our forefathers have been doing. And they choose a very interesting example over here. We have to speak about that. Because our forefathers kidnapped Joseph and they brought him down to Mitzrayim. Shneamar, because it says in the pasuk, this is Yosef speaking to the Egyptians, he said, I've been stolen from the land of the Hebrews. So Yosef was stolen, and Yishmael is saying, we can't, you know, we historically been involved in stealing, so we can't stop stealing, so we cannot accept the Torah.
So what with this example, so what are they saying? Are they saying that, listen, we have our stealing, it has an integral part in the history, in your plan. If we didn't steal Yosef, he wouldn't have come down, and you wouldn't have gone out in the Jewish.
Oh, so we'll sit a moment. 1 second. Umisham shalach l'chol Uma Yisraelim, or l'shag Uma Yisraelim. From there, from Bnei Yishmael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the other nations, or to all the nations of the world, and he said, Abraham, and he said to them, "Bekablam etem es haTorah. Would you like to receive the Torah?" Amru lo, they said, "Maksiv ba. What does it say in the Torah?" Amar lahem, Hashem said to them, "Lo yihi alecha elohim acherim al panai. You shouldn't have any other gods besides me." Amru lo, they said to Hashem, We cannot leave that which our forefathers have been doing, that they worship all kinds of idols. We do not want the Torah. Rather, give the Torah to your nation. Shneamar, it says in the pasuk, Hashem oiz la'amo yitain. Hashem gives strength to his nation. Hashem yivorech es amo yivashalem. Hashem blesses his nation with peace. That's interesting. The Medrash said at first Hashem went to Esav, Yishmael, and then it just lumped everyone together, and then the rest of the nations. Why did it single out Esav and Yishmael? So Radah says, because Esav and Yishmael are descendants of Avram Avinu. So they have a special chashivus. So that's why the Medrash spoke out exactly the dialogue between Hashem, or the Midrashic dialogue between Hashem and those nations, because they're chashuv nations, because they're descendants of Avram Avinu. At the end, the Radal notes that in other versions of this Medrash, it actually says that he also spoke to Amun and Moab and offered them the Torah, and they said no, because it says Loi Sinof, which is the Isra of Arias. So it seems like he's sort of asking a question, but I don't think it's such a question.
That's basically the essence of this people.
Right, because but Amon and Moav, right, the essence of Amon and Moav is to do Znos and things like that. But also, Amon and Moav are also related to Avram Avinu, because they're descendants of Lot. Yeah. And Lot had a lot of connection to Avram. He was like a Talmud, he was a nephew. So it could be that the Midrash and Tafka specifically singled out Esav, Yishmael, Amon and Moav, because these people had Sheikhas to Avram Avinu, and the other nations not necessarily, so it just lumped them all together and said,
at some level they have some schus.
Right.
They're not like Eliezer, the Abraham said, "Look, I'm Baruch but Arab."
Right.
Completely detached from me. The people of Mary are not completely detached from Abraham.
Right, they're not completely right. So Rabbi Steiner asked, did they really believe what they were saying? Like, what was happening? They were just looking for an excuse to not be mekabel the Torah, or they really felt that like that's their ikar identity. Our identity is murder. Our identity is stealing. Our identity is idolatry. Like, what was happening over here? So, and also, you could ask another question: why did Hashem dafka choose the example that He knew they wouldn't be able to keep? Right, if you say, okay, what does it say in there? Well, it says in there that you have to send away the mother bird when you pick up the eggs. Right? So okay, fine, that's not a big deal, right?
And on the other hand, in attempt to us, the proposition is really quite different. It's if anything, it's duress.
Right. Well, okay, that's a different question, but. So the Bayis HaGadol Pish that you have on the bottom over there, so he says like this. He said Hashem realized, you could see from the answer what their attitude is. When Hashem said to them, you want to accept the Torah. So when Hashem asked the Jews, we're going to see in a moment, later on, we're going to see that the Jews said, oh, we'll accept it. You don't know what it says in there. Okay, we'll find out afterwards. But right now we're saying we accept it. The old joke, Hashem offered the Jews a Torah. They said, how much does it cost? Says it's free. We'll take two.
But
their reaction, the reaction of Ammon, Moab, Esav, Yishmael, their reaction was, oh, what does it say in there? Well, they didn't say, oh, we'll take it. They said, what does it say in there? They weren't really interested in it. They want to make a whole, they want to come up with a reason why not. So you want to come up with a reason why not? I'll give you a reason why not. Because here it says this, which you feel is against your whole national identity.
The point is, what should they have said?
Well, if they really want it, then
but
say.
But they don't know what's in it. They said
what's
in it.
But the Jews accepted it without knowing what's in it.
Ah, they get it back over their head.
So who's the sucker?
So. But it could be that Hashem put the mountain over the head after they accepted it. That's it could be there is such a mahal.
You know, but you do give medicine to your kids and it's just like open up. He doesn't know what it is.
Right.
And sometimes they okay, Abba's giving me. So
you trust
whatever.
Him. You trust him.
We trust Abba. And sometimes like it's very bitter and sometimes very sweet.
Right.
And the Torah is sometimes very bitter because we want to do things that are not written in Torah because we're bad. And sometimes very sweet because the Torah is true.
Right. Yeah, that's a good mashal.
But you have a relationship with your Iman Abba. With Hashem, we didn't know who Hashem was.
No, we Hashem took us out of Egypt and all these things.
So the thing is like, right. when was the Torah giving was, like, after a malach of, dependence and confidence. So for me, it's like if you read the Torah and if you think about the Omer and everything, it's so strong that the relationship that they built from it's just enshrined until Matan Torah. So it has to be that they just whatever you give me is good.
I hear. So could be that's the whole chisaron of the other nations, that they didn't have a relationship
in
with God.
Level, not such a yeah. Thing. Okay, whatever, I take it. It's not a...
Another nekud over here. So that's what the Bayis HaGadol says, that from their answer that they started questioning, well, what was it there? They didn't just blindly accept it. You already see that they're not really interested. So Hashem, if you're not interested, I'll help you out to not be interested. I'll give you a reason why not to be interested. But if we look very closely at what we just read, there's a very interesting thing over here. It says that when Hashem went to Esav, He asked Esav, do you want to accept the Torah? So it says Esav said, we can't leave the bracha that Yitzchak gave our forefather Esav, because it says Ve'alchai b'cha sichya. It says that we're supposed to live on by the sword. When he went to Yishmael, what did Yishmael answer back? Yishmael answered back, Yishmael answered back that we can't take this Torah because it says you're not allowed to steal, and we historically steal. We're involved in stealing. We'll explain that in a moment. But in other versions of this Medrash, they said back, Bnei Yishmael said back, that we can't leave the bracha that Hashem gave to Yishmael, v'hu yeh pera adam, that Yishmael is going to be an ass of a man, he's going to be a wild man. Right? Why according to Pirkei Avos didn't they answer that back? Just like Bnei Esav answered back, we have a bracha of al chai b'chatichya, so Yishmael should answer back, we have a bracha of v'hu yeh pera adam. That's one question. Another question is in the Marzu, the Bayis HaGadol that you have on the bottom. He says he doesn't understand. He doesn't have an answer, he doesn't have an explanation for this. They said we are historically have been involved in kidnapping. Why? Because we kidnapped Yosef and we brought him down to Mitzrayim. Now that's not true. Who kidnapped Yosef?
The brothers
kidnapped him, not the Yishmaelim. The Yishmaelim were just like the middlemen that bought him and eventually got him down to Mitzrayim. But they didn't kidnap him. Okay, so you want to say maybe from the fact that they bought him and they sold him, you see they're involved in human trafficking, so they're kidnappers. Maybe that's the pshat. But then why dafka do you have to, they have to refer to the story of Yosef? Just say, okay, yeah, we kidnapped. That's what we do. So these two questions are asked by Rabbi Yomi Izmir in his Pirish Veloy Oid El over here on Pirkei Eliezer. He asks another question. He says, once we're answering back with a historical precedent, that Bnei Yishmael are saying, oh, we can't accept it because we steal, and we historically steal by Yosef, so why didn't Bnei Esav answer in a similar way? If we're talking about the sons of Yaakov Avinu stealing Yosef, kidnapping Yosef, so also Esav should have referred to what the sons of Yaakov Avinu did. That you said to Bnei Esav, do you want to accept the Torah? It says no. It says you're not allowed to murder. So then Bnei Esav should answer back. Well, you know, Yaakov and Shimon and Levi murdered, and we have shaychus to Shimon and Levi. We can't. You know, we see that murdering is a good thing, we can't accept the Torah. So why didn't they answer that back? Just like Yishmael answered back, you know, the sons of Yosef, the brothers of Yosef kidnapped Yosef. So Esav should also answer back. You know, Shimon and Levi killed, so we should be able to kill. What's wrong with killing? So this is the questions from Rabbi Leomi Izmir and Veloy Oid El. He says an interesting idea. He says that he says the difference between Esav and Yishmael. Yishmael don't necessarily hate the Jews as much. Yishmael is, they're stam, they're wild, they're uncivilized, uncouth, and they have this bracha, v'hu yeh pera adam, he's going to be a wild man. Now everyone realizes that this bracha, v'hu yeh pera adam, it's not such a good bracha, it's not really a bracha in a way, it's more of a, that's the metzius of what Yishmael is, a pera adam, not necessarily is it a bracha. So they don't want to answer back to Hashem, oh, we can't accept the Torah because it says you're not allowed to steal and we're supposed to be wild men. That's not the bracha. So rather, what do they do? We know that Yishmael did tshuva at the end of his life, and Yishmael sort of more came back and associated himself with the family of Avraham Avinu. So they want to say, yo, we can't be better than the family of Avraham Avinu, who themselves are involved in stealing. The brothers of Yosef stole. So we don't want to show that we're better than that, and by accepting the Torah, they're involved in stealing, and we're sort of part of them. So that's why we don't want to accept the Torah. That's how he understands what Yishmael said. On the other hand, when we're talking about Bnei Esav actually hate Yaakov. Esav slain is Yaakov. Halacha l'mayishim v'sinu l'gumar. The Midrash says. So halacha, Esav slain is Yaakov. Esav will always hate Yaakov. They don't want to associate themselves with Yaakov. So they're not gonna answer back but with this precedent that Shimon and Levi murdered, so we're not gonna be better than them and accept on ourselves to not murder, because they don't want to associate themselves with Bnei Yaakov. So the only thing they could answer back was, oh, we have a bracha that we're al chai b'chatichya. And they understood that al chai b'chatichya, they really understood that it's a bracha. They took it to the umpth degree. This is our bracha, this is how we live. We live by the sword. So that's why they answered back the bracha, and they only answered back from a precedent.
They believed it was a bracha.
What?
They
really believed that it was their bracha.
You make your way in the world through killing.
through killing.
You need something, you kill, and you'll be matzliach at it.
Yeah.
You will overpower your adversary, you'll kill him, and you'll have your panasa.
Right.
And also by the stealing. Like, it's the same answer by the right. stealing. Your panasa is by the stealing. It's a bracha. How do you think every thief is successful?
Right.
Some are more successful than others. Murderers, some are more successful than others.
Each and you can get caught.
Each one of them had a vision for yeah. this is their.
It's interesting. In the more popular versions of this medrash, and you might have heard it in that nusach, Hashem goes to Yishmael, and Yishmael says we can't accept Torah because it says lo sinof, they're not allowed to commit adultery and other immoral things. And when Hashem went to Bnei Esav, again, also they said it says lo sirtzach, you're not allowed to murder, and you can't murder. That's the more popular in the other versions of this manush. It says that Yishmael didn't want it not because of stealing but because of promiscuity, and Esav didn't want it because of murder. So someone once asked me that, you know, if you look in the world now, Yishmael, which is the Arab world, and Esav, which is represented by the Western world, it's actually the opposite. The Western world is more into immorality, and the Arab world is more into murder. Even though there's the Rambam writes, I forgot where it is exactly. The Rambam writes that the Arabs look like they're very, you know, pious people, and they don't do zdus, and they cover themselves up or whatever. They really, he says, they're really the most promiscuous people that exist. So someone asked me, but look, this
is
what?
Is that it?
I think the Rambam.
Someone
asked me once, the way it looks in the world now, it looks like it's the exact opposite. It's the Western world that's doing this znus, and the Arab world that's doing the killing. Not the not the Western world doing the killing and the Arab world doing the znus. So,
you know, I think the reason that we have these questions on the two answers
yeah.
is because we're seeing it through the perspective of civilization. They gave these answers pre-civilization. The world wasn't.
Well, there were small. Were they nations or families?
Civilization. We have Western civilization, and Western civilization for everyone to be able to go on in the world and to cross the street without killing each other, whatever. It's certain things you are bad. Before civilization, they weren't quote unquote bad. Okay, they're going to limit, you know, your friend's ability to go to conduct himself in the world. You're going to cut his life short. That's bad according to civilization. So we say murder is bad. You can't take his possessions, otherwise people aren't going to work. Whatever. So we say you can't steal. Okay. But prior to civilization,
it's convenient.
It's civilization.
You're saying things have changed because of the development of society.
It's post-Torah. Okay. Torah says don't steal,
once the Torah has had and the Jews have had an influence in the world, it sort of changed the ideas of the other nations. I hear.
And much to the chagrin of Esav and Ishmael, okay? We can't take the Torah because it says don't murder. We can't take the Torah because it says don't steal. Yet we have Western civilization, or civilization as a whole, whatever, which has been influenced by the Torah, which they didn't want anything to do with, which ended up biting them anyway and saying, you can't steal, you can't murder.
When this question was posed to me a few years ago, I sort of answered more tongue-in-cheek. I said, if you look at the Arab world, it looks like the Arabs are more involved in murder. But really, why are they more involved in murder? Because their Islamic teachers teach them that, you know, if you get killed while killing a Jew, so you go to heaven and you get 72 virgins. So really, what's motivating their murder is the znus. Agav, they say that the word that means virgins in that context is really supposed to mean like white grapes or something. So really, it means that if they kill a Jew while while they're killing a Jew, they get 72 white grapes when they go to heaven. But that's what I heard once. And the Christian world, it looks like they're more involved in znus than in murder. But really, why are they doing the znus? So they could kill the babies.
Wow. That's sad. What?
No, because like abortion and these type of things. Oh, stop that. It was tongue in cheek, but it's just dumb. I was trying to tell the guy like it doesn't look necessarily is everything the way it looks. That was the point. Fine, let's go weiter. let's go further. Umisham chazar v'nigla al bnei Yisrael. And from there, from after this discussion with Esau and Yishmael, all the other nations, Hashem went and revealed Himself to bnei Yisrael. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, v'asa meriva v'iskedesh. Hashem came from the multitudes of, or river vase means the thousands or hundreds of thousands of the holy hundreds of thousands. Miriv is Kodesh. The word Asa is really Aramaic. Like in Aramaic we say Asa, Aleph, Saf, Aleph, to mean coming. Here Asa, Miriv, coming from river is Kodesh. V'ein river vase al Yisrael, river vase, the multitudes refers to Klal Yisrael. Shemar says in the Pasuk, and Pashas Baha'al Yisrael, Uvenuchaya Yimar Shuva Hashem Rivavais Alfa Yisrael. When they stop traveling, so Shuva Hashem Rivavais Alfa Yisrael, the multitudes of hundreds of thousands of Klal Yisrael. So you see that the word Rivavais is used in connection to Klal Yisrael. The Radal understands that this next line is saying another pshat. What does it mean, Rivavais? Rivavais either means Yisrael or it means the next thing. It means V'imai Alfa Shinan V'rechav Rabbi Sayyim Malchi Kodesh. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He revealed Himself to Klal Yisrael, was hundreds of thousands of different types of angels. Shinan and Rechav are different types of angels. So that's what it means, river voice. Okay. V'minai Echezes Es HaTorah. The right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding the Torah. Or the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding the Torah. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, Miminai, from His right, Eish dos lomoi, a fiery religion for them. From His right, a fiery religion for them. It's referring to Matan Torah, that from His right, from the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came a fiery religion for Klal Yisrael. Wasn't it a fiery religion? Mikanato lomeid shdivrei Torah kegachal eish. From here you learn that divrei Torah, the words of the Torah, is like the fire of a coal. What does it mean, it's like the fire of a coal? Says the Radal, that when you have a coal, so sometimes when you can have a coal and it's glowing and it's obvious that there's some sort of fire involved. Sometimes you have a coal and it looks like it's a cold coal and there's no fire, but if you touch it, you get burnt. Why? Because there's really a fire going on the inside. So, same thing with the Torah. So sometimes you look at something and you don't understand it, and it doesn't have any pshat, and there's nothing to say over here, there's nothing here, it's cold, there's nothing there. But if you really look into it, deep inside, there's a fire burning, there's a real pshat, and there's a real understanding to it, hidden inside the coal. That's why the Divrei Torah is like a coal. V'nasen lahem bilshechiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael with an expression of endearment. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, "Smoylai tachas reishi, v'meinai tichabekeni." That's the end of the pasuk. Hashem, it's talking about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Smoylai tachas reishi, the left part of Hashem, let's say, is underneath my head, meaning it's supporting me. V'meinai tichabekeni, and His right is hugging me. And we said that the Torah is miminoi, from the right of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and from the right, it's hugging. So Radal says that even though the Torah is like a fire, it's just gevura, it's powerful, it's a dangerous thing, right? But still, Hashem gave it in the lashon of chiba, with the endearment. Bimaya techab keni, Hashem was like hugging him. Derech ava, derech chiba. That's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah. Another nekuda, bilshen shvua. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with an expression of shvua, of an oath. Shenema, but the gears over here is a little bit off, but it says Bilshin Shvua, Ve'ein Miminoi El Shvua. This is the way the Bais HaGadol has the gears off. Or also the Radal, also She'ein Miminoi El Shvua. The Lashon of Yamin, the right, we said the Torah came from the right, Miminoi, is the Lashon of Shvua. Why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Shenema Nishba Hashem Biminoi Uvizay Uzay. Hashem swore with His right, and with the power of his arm. So we see that when we talk about the right, it refers to an oath. And also we have this in the next parak, in parak Mem Beis, by when HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to the sea that He's not going to have any tainas for swallowing up the Egyptians. So we see that Hashem gave the Torah with a lashon, an expression of oath. Hashem sort of swore, there was some sort of swearing involved. The question is, what was the swearing that was involved with the giving of the Torah? So the Marzu explains that Hashem swore to Klal Yisrael that he's never going to take the Torah away from them. It's Hashem making a swear. Hashem swearing. The Radal understands differently. He says that Hashem made the Jews swear that they're not going to replace the Torah. So who's swearing here? Either Marzu says Hashem swore not to replace the Jews, and the Radal says that the Jews swore not to replace the Torah. They're going to keep the Torah, uphold the Torah. This brings in an interesting discussion.
Second premises.
What?
Second premises is another one.
Yeah. Oh,
like, second premises on yourself, second premises on your son to this one. Like, what about...
Oh, so we're going to see that, you know, Chazal tell us that all the Jews and all the future generations were there at Matan Torah, and everyone was makabal this oath. But it's a Gemara Nedarim that says like that. The Gemara Nedarim says that HaKadosh Baruch, when the Klal Yisrael was makabal the Torah, they were makabal it with a Shvua. That they were kabbal the Torah with a shvua, with the oath. They swore that they're going to keep the Torah. That what obligates the Jews to keep the Torah? They said they're going to do it. Why? Because they swore that they're going to keep the Torah. Why? You can ask like this: before the Torah, what was the difference between Jews and a regular guy? Ben Noach. Bnei Noach have 7 mitzvahs that they're supposed to keep. And now come along the Jews. They used to be like Bnei Noach, and they were makabal the Torah with an oath. And now they have 613 mitzvahs. Let's think about it a little bit. If you have a regular guy who's makabal something, is he obligated in that thing? If a guy makes a shvua, is he obligated to listen to the shvua? When the Jews before the Matan Torah, when they were goyim, and now they accepted with a shvua the Torah, what obligates them to keep it? In the laws of Bnei Noach, there's no such thing as a shvua. That's a question that I once had. Let's start like this. What are the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? Does anyone know?
No.
So when I was a little kid, my father taught me a trick how to memorize all 7 Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. They go from Aleph down to Zion. Each one is each letter represents one of the mitzvahs. So I'll teach you this trick so it'll help you remember it. Aleph is Iver Minachai. You're not allowed to eat a limb off a live animal. Beis is called Birkas Hashem. You're not allowed to curse Hashem. Euphemistically, Birkas Hashem means blessing Hashem, but it means the opposite. Gimel is Gnevor, Gzela. A goy is not allowed to steal. Dalet is Dinim. A goy is obligated to set up Batei Dinim. Hey is Hereg. A goy is not allowed to kill. Vav is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, a goy is not allowed to worship idols. Zayin is Nus. They're not allowed to commit certain incestual and adulterous relations. But those are the 7 mitzvahs. Well, none of them says that you're supposed to listen to what you swear. So if the Jews before Matan Torah were like goyim, and they accepted it with themselves with an oath that they're going to keep the Torah, what obligates them to keep that oath? A goy is not obligated to keep his oath, Pashtus, right? So comes along Tesis Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz Misachas Nedarim. Tesis Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz Nedarim Chafeham and Aleph says that a goy is obligated to keep an oath because it's included in Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. A goy has a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which we didn't say is one of the 7 mitzvahs, but he assumes that a goy has a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and violating an oath is a Chilul Hashem, which is the opposite of Kiddush Hashem, and therefore a guy is obligated to keep to his oaths. That's what it says in Tesis Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz. This is sort of building on 2 assumptions. First, that a guy is obligated to keep his oath, and second, that a guy is and the reason why this is because a guy is chayv in Kiddush Hashem. So there's 2 assumptions: that a guy is obligated to keep his oath, and a guy is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Now, the Mishnah LaMelech, one of the main Mefarshim on the Rambam, the Mishnah LaMelech says in Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud, he's mesupik if a guy is obligated to keep a shvua. Then he says that maybe it's a machlokes. The same person, the Mishnah Melach, without talking about Kiddush Hashem in regard to shvua, he talks about Kiddush Hashem on its own in his other sefer. It's a Jewish sefer called Parshas Drachim, Jewish Beis. He talks about whether a goy is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. The context over there is actually very interesting. It's talking about whether the Meyaldites, the Jewish midwives in Mitzrayim, were obligated to listen to Paro that they should kill the Jews, or it's Yarek Val Yavar, which because Kiddush Hashem tells you that you're supposed to give up your life, and if Paro said you have to kill them, they should not kill them and let themselves be killed instead. That's Kiddush Hashem. So he was discussing what's the halachic ramifications in that case. But he says that a guy is not obligated in Kiddush Hashem. So what obligates a guy to keep his shua then? Says other mafreshim also that Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel al Torah in the Parshas Chayisara writes that a guy is obligated to keep his shua because it's like a avodah zara to not keep his shua. Because if you make a shua, what's a shua? A shua is you say, in the name of God, I'm going to do such and such. Or I say that such and such is true. So if it's not true, or you don't do that, you're saying that you deny God, which is a form of avodah zarah. So he says that's why they're obligated to keep the shuvos. The Panim Yafis, which is written by the Panim Yafis, Pinchas Horowitz, the Hafla, Sefer HaMikna, Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, Rav in Frankfurt. So Panim Yafis and Parshas Matos writes that making a shvua, keeping a shvua is included in not cursing Hashem, because by not keeping it, you're defiling the name of Hashem. The Meshech Chochma and Parshas Yisro says that you don't need a source for it. It's a logical thing. Okay, so we have different sources that it seems to say that it could be that a guy is obligated in shvuas. So say that Kodesh Baruch Hu was b'chayiv Klal Yisrael to keep the Torah with a lashon of shvua, bill of shvua, because it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah miminoi from his right, and we find the lashon of yamin in regard to shvuas. Another interesting idea that has to do with this, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah from his right. It's not so much relevant to what we're saying here in Pirkei Avot Eliezer, but it has to do with this week's parsha a little bit. Wanted to say over it. It's a cute vart. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tes Vav and Aleph is talking about an Eved Ivri. Halacha by an Eved Ivri is that he works for his master for 6 years, and then in 6 years he goes free. What if he wants to stay? So if he wants to stay, so we make a hole in his ear, and then he becomes called a Nirtza, and he can stay then he gets to stay till Yovel. As Eved. So Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tes Vav and Aleph says, which ear do you put the hole in? Right ear or the left ear? So Gemara says, "Minayin the ritzia shiba oizen yiminis." How do you know that the ritzia, this putting the hole in, has to be in the right ear? Because it says in regard to the Eved Ivri, it says yamin. It says oizen. Sorry, it says oizen the ear. And in regard to mitzayra, when the mitzayra is mitar himself, so they take the blood of the korbanos and they put it on his ear and his thumb and on his toe. And it says oizen over there, and oizen over there is oizen yaminis, his right ear. So here too, when it says oizen, his ear means his right ear. That's what the Gemara says. So they ask a question. Rebbe Heschel asked this question in Parshas Mishpatim, Chanukah. It's brought down in Chanukah Sotero. Why would you think that this should be done in any other ear except for the right ear? All mitzvahs in the Torah you do with the right. You put on tefillin, it says you tie your tefillin. It doesn't say which hand you tie your tefillin in. Why? Because you know, you tie it with the right hand, with the more chashuv hand, right. So why would you think that when you put the hole in the ear of the Eved Ivri, you should do it in the left? Of course you do it on the right. All mitzvahs you do on the right. On the right. What was the Gemara's question, Bechal? So he says, Geshmak of art. He says, Rashi brings this down in Chumash in a few places. Why is it that the Eved Ivri, when he wants to stay longer, so we make a hole in his ear? What did his ear do wrong? What's happening over here? What's the significance of this? So also in Gemara and Kiddushin, Chafalafam and Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a derish to make her as a kimin choimer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a derish like this. Man ishtana oizen mikol oivorim shebeguf. What changed? Why is the oizen, the ear, different from all the oivorim, all the limbs of the body? Or, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, oizen shishama koilei har Sinai b'shasha marati. The ear that heard my voice in Har Sinai, when at the time that I said, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, that to me the Jews are avodim, and avodayhem, they're my servants. Hashem said that the Jews are my servants. V'loy avodim avodim, they're not servants to a servant. You can't. You're not supposed to be a servant to a Jew. A Jew is supposed to be servants to Hashem. You're not supposed to be a servant to a Jew who's also a servant. A servant to a servant. So this guy who wants to dafka be a servant to a servant, and his ear didn't hear that at Har Sinai, his ear heard it at Har Sinai, and he doesn't care, so you make a hole in his ear.
Yehudi?
Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri. That's what it says. This pasuk of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim is a pasuk in this week's Parshas, Parshas Bahar. The context of that pasuk is talking about that if a Jew is sold to a guy, you should make sure that he gets redeemed. Because Jews are not supposed to be slaves to other people. We're supposed to be slaves to Hashem. Servants to Hashem. So, that's what it says in the Gemara. Comes along with Rabbi Reb Heschel. He says very geshmakabar. It says in the pasuk we just read, Miminai Eish Daslamai. From the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Yeah? And there's a medrash in Shir Shir Abba. It says, Yishakini Minishikais Pihu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed us with the kisses of his mouth. And that's understood by the Medrash to refer to Matan Torah, where Kodesh Baruch Hu kissed us. Kissing doesn't mean literally kissing, but it means he gave us words from his mouth. He gave us the Torah. And the Medrash says, "B'shas Matan Torah, Hayahadibar Yaitze Miminay Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Smolan Shal Yisrael." At the time of Matan Torah, the words came out of Kodesh Baruch Hu from the right of Kodesh Baruch Hu to the left of Klal Yisrael. Right? If something is coming out of my right side, it's gonna, and we're facing each other, it's gonna go into your left. Right? So it says that which ear was it that heard that heard Hashem speaking by Matan Torah? It was the left ear, not the right ear. Yeah. So since it was the left ear, you would have thought that when we poke a hole in your ear because you didn't listen by Matan Torah, right? You would think that it's dafka the left ear, because that was the ear that heard it. So the Gemara has to bring a pasuk oizen here and oizen by mitzvah to tell you, no, it's dafka the right ear. All the mitzvahs you do with the right, but here you would have thought that the whole reason is because you didn't listen, so you would get it in the left ear, not in the right ear. So the Gemara has to bring the whole drasha to tell you, no, it's the right ear. That's what the Rabbi Reb Heschel says. So that's a cute part. Another pshat that the Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim. So he brings in his Sefer and Chumash, Parashas Mishpatim, brings another pshat. Why you would have thought the left ear? All mitzvahs is the right ear. So he says that why do you do mitzvahs with the right? Because the right is the more chashuv. And when you're doing a mitzvah and you're doing what Hashem wants, what Hashem commands you to do, so you want to do it in the most chashuv way. So you do it with the right. But over here, he has to say that over here it's not necessarily a mitzvah to put the hole in his ear. Technically, it's a mitzvah, but the reason behind it is not stam because you want to do what Hashem says. It's an einish. It's a punishment. You didn't listen by Har Sinai, so you get a hole in your ear. It's a punishment. So the punishment we don't want to do with the more chashuva part. We do with the left side. That's what you would have thought. And the Gemara has to say a drasha why dafka the right side, and it brings that over there that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had an argument with Rav Kook about this. There's a sefer Luach Eretz Yisrael from Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. He has the Luach, called the Luach, and here it says the Luach. And but in the Luach it says, brings from Rav Kook, at least in the older editions of the Luach, I don't know if they still print it, brings that from Rav Kook, but right before Tisha B'Av, when you take off your shoes for the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, so Rav Kook said you take off your right shoe first, and then you take off your left shoe. Why? Because it's a mitzvah. The Avelos is a mitzvah, so you take off the right shoe first, because you start with the more chashuva thing, and then you do the left shoe. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank argued. He said, no. You take off the shoe first, then you take off the right shoe. It seems like it's like a minute halachic difference, but it's bringing out this point. First you take off the left shoe, because it's not, the point isn't the mitzvah, the point is the avelus. We're mourning Yerushalayim, the avelus, and whatever, the sad situation, so we take off the left shoe first. And focusing on the avelus, not necessarily the mitzvah shoe. Okay. Fine. Let's go weiter.
It's a little bit like the work in the year.
What?
A little bit like the word to tell about the punishment.
Yeah, that's the same idea.
Right or left, because of mitzvah, because of punishment.
Right. Let's go right there. If you want, you can come join us.
Yeah,
Rabbi Eliezer says, "Miyom shiyotzu Yisrael mitzrayim, hayu noisim v'chaynim ha-machlikas." From the day that the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, they were traveling and camping in with a machlekes. Some Gersois have bechal koilis, but they say that it's a mistake. It's supposed to say b'machlekes. They were traveling. They were always in a machlekes. Machlekes doesn't necessarily mean that they were in a fight, but it means that there were multiple opinions and multiple people had different objectives and they were going for different things and everyone had their own ambitions. So there were different. Each person was going for different reasons and stuff. Shema says in the pasuk, "Vayisu vayachanu," and they traveled and they camped. Vayisu is lashon of rabbin. Vayisu they, it's plural. Vayisu they traveled. Vayachanu they camped, also plural. Ad shebo kulam har Sinai, until they all came to har Sinai. V'chanu kineged ahar, and they camped across from the mountain. Shema says in the pasuk, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar." And Yisrael encamped there across from the mountain. Over here it says Vayichan, and it literally means and he encamped. It doesn't say and they encamped, and he encamped. Lashon Yochid, not Lashon Rabbah, in the singular form, not in plural form. So you see from here that when they came to Har Sinai, the Jews are reckoned as one entity. They all came together. That's how they encamped. There was no machlekes. Hashem said to them, "Are you going to accept the Torah?" They all answered with one mouth, as if not literally one mouth, but with one. They all said the same thing, and they said, "Even before we hear what the Torah is about, we are going to accept upon ourselves to be shomer, to guard, and to do all the mitzvahs that are said in the Torah." And the Radah says, "Shomerim v'oisim," like we say, "Lishmar v'lasayis." Shomerim is lois essay, lasayis is mitzvahs essay. So we're going to keep the essays and lois essays of the Torah. He says, maybe there's, you could say another gear, so "Shomerim v'oisim," we're going to listen and we're going to do. Shomer says in the Pasuk, "Vayayimru kol adrim ha-shadib ha-shem na'asav nishwa." They said, all the things that Hashem spoke, we're going to do and we're going to hear. And they said, we're going to do before they said we're going to hear. They accepted upon themselves to do whatever the Torah says before they even heard what the Torah is about. What? Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoi Omer. Rabbi Lazar HaMoidoi says like this, "Miyayim shenivru shamayim v'aretz nikra shem ahar chayrev." From the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created shamayim v'aretz, the mountain was called Har Chayrev. That was the name. Uchashenigla Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe mitoich hasna. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe from the sna, from the burning bush, Al Shem Asna Nikra Sinai. Because of that sna, the bush, which means sna means bush, it became the name of the mountain changed and became Sinai. Hu Chayrev, but Sinai is Chayrev. Sinai and Chayrev is the same mountain, different name. Originally, from Shesh Shemei Bereshis, it was called Chariv. Now, after the story of Moshe Benu speaking to Hashem by this, it became the name Sinai as a remembrance of the Sna. Uminayin shekibu olem es haTorah b'har Chariv. How do you know that Klal Yisrael was mekabel haTorah har Chariv?
Why exactly this name? Because Hashem spoke with Moshe Rabbeinu first. First time on the through the snake. That's why, because there's this like a kind of big, you know, the ultimate symbol of Hashem speaking to Hashem, but it didn't begin there. That's why maybe.
That was like the beginning of the Geula, the beginning of the beginning of that process why that went up to Mount Sinai.
They call Mount Sinai
after the snake.
After the snake.
That was the first time that Hashem sort of spoke face to face with Moshe, and then Har Sinai is like the paragon of Hashem speaking face to face with Klal Yisrael. Maybe that's the word. I don't know. Why Dafka the Sna? Why did that change it? So how do we know that Hashem spoke they were makabel Torah by Har Chayiv? If you look in the Pesukim, we only talk about Har Sinai. Where is Har Chayiv? How do you know it's the same mountain? Yeah, it says in the pasuk, "Yoyim Asher Amadat Lefnei Hashem Lekecha Pechoriv." There's a mitzvah of zechiras Maimed Har Sinai, the mitzvah to remember Har Sinai, and that pasuk it says you should remember the day that you stood in front of Hashem your God, B'chayriv. It says B'chayriv, it doesn't say Har Sinai. I already know the Torah is given Har Sinai. So you see that Har Sinai and Har Chayriv is really the same mountain, and there's different names, and it went through a process. It was originally called Har Chayriv, from the time of Bris Olam, it was called Har Chayriv, and then afterwards it became, after the story of the Sinai, it became called Har Sinai. That's what the Midrash says.
How come it's called Chayriv?
What's the meaning of the word Chayriv? Oh, it's a good question.
So yeah, we know.
So there's a Midrash like this.
Destruction and Chorev and Harev.
Oh, but how does that fit in? Oh, so we're going to see in a moment. The Medrash, Shmois Rabbah, Perek Beis, Simen Dalet, at the end of Simen Dalet. The Medrash says that Har Sinai actually had five names.
Shmois Rabbah, Parsha Beis, Simen Dalet
at the end. It's the Medrash, Shmois Rabbah, and the Parsha Shmois.
Okay.
It says, the Har Sinai has five names. I'm going to read it to you. Chamisha Shemais Yeshlei. That mountain has five names. Har Elikim, the mountain of God. Har Boshan, the mountain of Boshan. Har Gavnunim, the mountain of Gavnunim. Har Chayev, mountain of Chayev. Har Sinai. These are the five names. The manager explains what's the meaning of each of these five names. Har Elikim, the mountain of God. Shisham Kibli Yisrael Elikusa Yishal Kiddush Baruch Hu. Because there, that's where the Jews accepted upon themselves the godness of Hashem. That's where they accepted Hashem as their God. Har Bashan, what is it called? Har Bashan. Shukama Sha'ichel Adam Bishinov Bishusa Torah Shinitna Bahar. Because everything that a person eats with his teeth, everything tangible that a person gets in this world, he gets in the Schus of the Torah which was given at Har Sinai. Right? Bishinov is like Bashan. So that's the Jewish. Chenu Omer, it says in the Pasuk, next week's Parsha, Im b'chukai say teileichu, if you go with the chukim of the Torah, ta-ta-ta, it says, v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam. I'm going to give the rain at its proper time. And that means all, the rain doesn't necessarily mean rain literally, but it means, geshem means gashmius, which is all physical things that people have in this world, the Jews get in this world, is b'schus the Torah. That they were makabel at Har Sinai. Har Gavnunim, why is it called the Gavnunim? So the way that the Yosef explains it, the Midrash says two pshatim. Noki kigvina, it's clean like cheese. What does it mean, clean like cheese? So there was another man that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to decide which mountain should we give the Torah on. And there was only one mountain in the area that wasn't ever used as a Avodah Zarah. So now is Har Sinai. So Har Sinai is clean from Avodah Zarah. It didn't have Avodah Zarah. It didn't have any impurities in it. So too, when you make cheese, how do you make cheese? You take milk. I don't know exactly how you make cheese, but you process it with the curds. The curds. When you
it's simple. You put it in.
You put it in a renner.
Out of the window and let it get, what's it called? A little. Not rotten. What's the word?
Fermented.
No. Yeah, naturally fermented because it's got a little, you know, spoiled.
No, hard cheese. Hard cheese is a huge process.
I know exactly how you do it.
Separation.
You separate the curd from the whey.
That means you clean it out.
Right. So the whey is like the impurities, and then the curds, that's the pure cheese.
If you see, like sometimes it happens to you in your own fridge, like it's something.
Yeah, the milk, it starts separating and it exactly. Turns into
you
butter
put
and
whatever. Yeah. Some kind of a water and it's like a little kind of milk.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's dirt, whatever.
It gets like clumpy and yeah.
Yeah, and then they have the cheese on top.
Right. So the point is that when you make cheese, you're sort of separating the good part of the milk or whatever from the bad part, and then that's what you use to make the cheese. You take away the impurities. So Har Sinai is like cheese because you took away the impurities. It didn't have a Avodah Zarah like all the other big mountains in the area. That's one pshat. Noki kagvina. The other pshat is the kiyam we call mum. It's clean from all mums because when Klal Yisrael went there, they say kulach hinach yafa. Or what's the pasuk? Hinach yafa ra'yasi mum ein bach. I mean, Shir Shirim, that when Chal Yisrael was at Har Sinai, Umum Eibach, they didn't have any blemishes. That Hashem, when the Darim says that Kodesh Baruch Hu healed all their maladies and everything by Har Sinai. But interestingly, the Pesukim actually bring down this Medrash. Why do we eat Milchigs on Shavuos? So the Pesukim actually bring down this Medrash is one of the sources why we eat Milchigs on Shavuos. Because Har Sinai is called Har Gavnunim, which is related to Gvina, which is cheese. So that's why we dafki eat cheese and other dairy products on Shavuos. Har Chayrev, why is Har Sinai called Mount Chayrev? Shimimenu notlus sanhedrin rishus lahareg becharev. Chayrev is related to the word Chareb, a sword. From that mountain, from the giving of the Torah, that's where the Sanhedrin has Rishus, the permission, or the green light from Hashem to kill people with the sword. That's where Hashem gave the Rishus to Beis Din. You know, Beis Din, now you're in charge of punishing people. Until now, Hashem took care of it. Now it comes down also to Bidei Adam. And Rishmu Ban Achman Omar, another pshat, that because that's where the goyim are going to be destroyed from, because they decided not to be mekabel Torah. Shemisham nadlo evde gilulim ifufsin shalhem. They got their decree. Shenamar, and then he says the says their decree that they're going to be destroyed because they didn't want to accept the Torah. Shenamar ba goyim choroiv yecharavu. Pasuk in Yeshaya, the goyim are going to be surely be destroyed. Mechoriv yecharavu. We're talking from Chayrev, from Har Sinai, they're going to be destroyed. From the fact that they didn't want to be mekabel the Torah, Har Sinai, that's what they're going to be destroyed in the future. And the last name, Har Sinai, why is it called Har Sinai? Shemimenu yarda sina la'ev dekachavim. Sinai is a lashon of sina, hatred. From Har Sinai is where sina of the goyim came down to the goyim. The hatred that the goyim have to the Jews came down by Har Sinai. That's where the goyim got their hatred from the Jews. The anti-Semitism started over there by Har Sinai. The Jews, the goyim don't like the fact that the Jews have the Torah and the Jews have this religion. They don't like that. That's what causes them to hate the Jews. So that's what their sinah came from, Har Sinai. So we see that Har Sinai has all these five different names over here. Chayrev, Kavnunim.
That's a contradiction.
What?
Between the Midrash.
No, I don't think it's a
contradiction.
So it could be it's a contradiction in Achlami. You could say that it's a Machlekes of the Midrashim, but you could understand like this. The mountain has five names, and we explained why it has these five names. Each of the names, why it has to do with the mountain, based on that. Yeah?
On top of that,
what does the Torah call it? So Pirkei Avos is saying that we called it up until the story of the Snat, from Ma'aseh Bereishis till the story of the Snat, we call it Chayrev. From the Snat onwards, we call it Sinai. Why Sinai? Because of the Snat. But why is it really called Sinai? Because of the hatred. And why is it called Chayrev? Because the sword came down to Sanhedrin. That's what he says. Yeah. I mean, that's what it seems like the Midrash is saying.
It's interesting because if Hashem is deciding, I mean, he's telling us there that Sanhedrin had the power to this, you know, to punish through the sword. And you're saying that the name Horus stops now, and you're starting a new generation with a different name.
No, but all these names had to do with. Oh, so you're asking what changed?
I mean, historically, it's not 100% mechuvan.
I hear.
It has to be that the names the Horus until now. If
right.
You call the Horus. And it's not that it's just like it was called Horeb until a certain period, and then from now on we have a different name. No, we have all the five names, you know, till nowadays. So the thing is,
right.
what's the influence today?
Right. Okay, you can say it like that, which was
called Horeb because we have Sinai. We have Sinai, yeah, because we have a lot of hatred over here.
Right.
And maybe the other name is also like the maybe Shavuos we can call the other what's it called the. Givonim.
Kavnunim, yeah. So Rabbi Yomi Izmir asks another question. It says, it's similar to like the idea that you're trying to bring out. It has five names, and here the manager is singling out. Well, it was called Chayrev, and then we switched it and called it Sinai. What happened to the other names? Like, why dafka we're focusing on these names? And also, the way the Medrash says it is like, from when Hashem created Shemayim Varetz, from the Bria Sa'olam, it was called Chayrev until the Sneh. why was it called Chayiv from Bria's Olam till the Sna? What's the significance of Chayiv from Bria's Olam till the Sna? Why? What did that have to do with anything? And he says he has another question. If it's called Sinai because of the Sna, why is it called Sinai? Call it Sna. Sna is Sna. Why is Sinai? It doesn't work. Okay, so he says like this. Very interesting idea. First of all, why from the time, yes, why from the time, why is it that from the time that the world was created until the story of the Sna, was it called Chayiv? Chazal tell us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Vahi Erev, Vahi Boker, Yoyim Hashishi, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hay is a big hay. Why? Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tnai with Bris Olam. He made a stipulation, a condition with the creation of the world. He said, if the Jews accept the Torah, fine, so the world will continue to exist. If they don't, we're going to destroy the world. This world is not really here because on its own. It's only here on condition that the Jews accept the Torah. If not, the world is going to be destroyed. So from the time that the world was created until Hashem started to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim by the Sne, that's the beginning, all the way from the beginning, all the way till then, the world was sort of hanging. Are we going to continue or are we not going to continue? Are the Jews going to accept the Torah and the world is going to continue? Or they're not going to accept the Torah and then the world will be destroyed? But what represented that question, that suffix that the world had? Har Sinai. Because that's where it was supposed to happen. This is where Har Sinai is where it's supposed to happen, that the Jews are supposed to be will or will not be mekabel the Torah. So because of that, they called it Har Chayiv. Chayiv wants to say not necessarily exactly like the Medrash, but Chayiv is a lashon of churban, destruction. The until from the creation of the world all the way until the Jews started going out of Mitzrayim, the mountain was known as Har Chayiv, in allusion to the fact that the destruction of the world will be dependent on this mountain. If the Jews accept the Torah on this mountain, the world won't be destroyed. If they won't accept it, the world will be destroyed. So this is the mountain of destruction. This could bring the destruction of the world, this mountain. That's why it's called Chayiv. That's what Rabbi Yomi Isber says. Then he asks, why is it called Sinai, not Sne? If we said it's called Sinai because of the Sne, so call it Sne, not Sinai. So I don't necessarily agree to the question. But once he's asking the question, and the answer that he says is a very partial answer, which is why I didn't really hear the question.
If you think for a second, and sorry to interrupt again, we see that in all names.
Oh.
This name because of this name of Moshe, because it was brought out from the waters. Whatever name we find in the Torah is a reference, not the name itself.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly his answer.
You can say like that, we just added an Yud because of Hashem.
It's named after something. It's named like in memory of something, but it's not going to have the same name because every name represents the thing itself. The name represents the thing itself and represents certain things, the ideas behind the thing and the deeper understanding of what that thing is. And to call two things the same name, it doesn't make sense. You can't call a bush and a mountain the same thing because it's not the same thing. And he brings
the name. The
he brings examples, not the same example you said, Moshe, but it says like Reuven. Why is Reuven called Reuven? Because she said Ra'ash and Ba'ani, right? So it's Ra Hashem. So why do you call him Ra? Why do you call him Reuven? So you change the word a little bit. You play on the word because you're hinting to that idea. But that's not the actual name, or Shimon. Or he brings a bunch of examples, and he says that this is a deep idea. Yeah. He says this is a deep idea, and if you think about it, you can explain it very well, and expand on it according to your knowledge. That's what Rabbi Yomi Isra says. So this is I think it's an idea that, yeah.
But
okay. What?
Does it have an answer?
Does it have what?
An answer to his question. Why not call him Sne?
No, so he's saying that he doesn't answer exactly why Sne and Sinai, but he just says that Sne is not the same thing as Sinai.
Oh, that's him answering the question.
Yeah.
His own question.
Yeah, he answers his own question. Rabbi Yomi Isber. Prayer should be here. V'loy Oyed Eli. You can look at it. Starts on page Shin Samech Ches and goes to Shin Samech Tes. What time is it?
37.
10:37. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Thank you for coming. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
And, yeah.